I think I may say this publicly. During my week in Rome earlier this month, spent some hour and a half with a prefect of the Sacred Congregation for the Clergy, which has jurisdiction over all the priests of the Catholic Church. Whenever I go to Rome, I'm never quite sure what I'm going to be told to do. And I always come back with more homework. Says the highest authority in the Catholic Church, under the Holy Father, of the Catholic priesthood, what our priests need, and your country with emphasis, is a deeper understanding, grasp of their faith. The conclusion is obvious. We must begin. I wouldn't have thought of it, or if I had, I would have put it as a vain thought. We need continuing education of our priests, especially those ordained within the last 20 or 25 years. Why meditate on the Psalms? So that we know, we understand what the Holy Spirit wanted, past tense, and wants today to communicate in His revealed wisdom contained in the 150 Psalms of the Old Testament. In other words, in answer to the question of why meditate on the Psalms, so that might not happen to us what Christ foretold would happen to anyone who, having received the Word of God, failed to understand it, and the devil stole it, took it away. In case you haven't heard, among religious institutes in the Catholic Church today, and among religious communities in the United States, the hardest hit with the largest number leaving and the smallest number entering are contemplative institutes. Who by their rule of life are to recite the divine office, which is mainly the Psalms. What you don't understand, you don't appreciate. What you don't appreciate, you will not labor to even protect. What you don't understand, you're always in danger I don't see of losing it, but literally of throwing it away. Now the method. How to meditate on the Psalms. I take as my directives those of St. Ignatius, the founder of the Society of Jesus. Among his methods of prayer described at length in the Spiritual Exercises is to take, says Ignatius, some common, popular, vocal prayers, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, one of the Psalms, make it definite, choose one. You don't start meditating on the Psalms in general. After half an hour, you may not even be fully awake. Be specific. Second, place yourself, says Ignatius, in the presence of God. And as he told his followers, before you start any meditation, make an act of the presence of God, not only mentally or even verbally, but even physically. Get down not only on your knees, but flat on the ground. Just for the record, otherwise you would know it. I've been doing this regularly in the rectory nearby. An act of profound homage, prostrating the body before God as a symbol of the prostration of the soul. Third, assume a prayerful posture. Talk about being a realist. There are some postures that are obviously more prayerful or better, more conducive to prayer than others. One look at certain chairs. 5 minutes in that chair. The most ambitious meditation you've ever planned. Will end in the arms of sleep. Fourth, start with a psalm. One word or phrase at a time. The less you present the mind at any one time for meditation, the better chance you have of meditating effectively. Fifth step. Stay there. Stay where? Stay on that word or phrase, as long as, and this is Ignatius' language, as you find various meanings, comparisons, relish in consolation, in reflecting in God's presence on that word or phrase. My favorite homemade definition for meditation is thinking in the presence of God. Sixth step. After a while, go into the next word or phrase. Until, watch this, your prescribed time is up. Some people have an instinctive sense of time. I don't. Got to have a watch. I would almost say, turn on the alarm. Meditation should have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Now, by way of illustration, and you can see, we could start a retreat now for the rest of the year. 150 psalms, and my friends, some are short, but some of the psalms are pretty long. They have a lot of words. I will just take the first psalm, and before my time is up, I won't cover, needless to say, all the words. Let me read the psalm entirely first. Blessed is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the chair of pestilence, but his will is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he shall meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree which is planted near running waters, which shall bring forth its fruit in due season, and his leaf shall not fall off, and all whatsoever he shall do shall prosper. Not so the wicked, not so, but like the dust which the wind drives from the face of the earth. Therefore, the wicked shall not rise again in judgment, nor sinners in the counsel of the just. For the Lord knows the way of the just, and the way of the wicked shall perish. This is the Douay Rheims version. The more popular version begins with the word happy as the first word of the first psalm. The deepest hunger, really, the only true hunger of the human spirit is for happiness. Everything we want, everything we seek, everything we spend ourselves to acquire is fundamentally motivated by the desire for happiness. Man is the creature who desires happiness. The biblical definition of man. Yet, there are so many unhappy people. And of all places, in the most prosperous, long-lived, less working, best fed, most healthy, heaviest, tallest nation in the whole world, the United States has the highest proportion of emotional disturbance. The lowest figure is 60 million Americans manage to eke out some measure, I don't see, of happiness, but at least of peace, by taking all kinds of sophisticated medication called, for want of a better word, tranquilizers. Our mental institutions are crowded to overflowing. Our number and percentage of suicides is the largest in the world. We better know what the Holy Spirit meant when he inspired the author of the first psalm to begin the psalm with the word happy. But the word happy in the original Hebrew, in the original Greek translation of the Old Testament before the time of Christ, in the Latin of the Church's official Vulgate, is no ordinary happiness. The word chosen by the Holy Spirit is the happiness that comes only from God. No less than we did not make ourselves. Agreed? That's where this retreat started. To remind ourselves that 9 months before we were born, we were exactly nothing. But no more than we did not make ourselves, comma, we cannot make ourselves happy unless God provides the grace. He must provide the grace. But we must provide the free will. We must want to do what God wants us to do. Change the object of that verb. What God wants me to do. I suppose God wants you to listen patiently and me to speak, I hope, intelligently. We have not finished meditating on the first word of the first psalm, but we should close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, you who recited the psalms from infancy until you were dying on the cross, help us to understand what your divine spirit meant by the words that we sing or recite when we say the psalms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.